Chapter 26. Stan drove carefully, observing the speed limit and all traffic laws. The fact that what he was planning in his head was against the laws of God and man registered in his mind in only an abstract way. The only law he was operating under was an eye for an eye. That was his job now, his mission, to take the guilty parties and make them pay for what had been done to Marlene Haas and those two little children, for what they were allowing Carl Dahl to get away with. As if a piece of crap like Carl Dahl should have rights. What about the rights of the victims? If the system wouldn't give them justice, then that was Stan's purpose. That would be his last job here on Earth. He had no other reason to be here. His career was gone, and he had nothing else. If he ceased to be a cop, then he ceased to be at all. In a way, that had already happened. The Stan Dempsey people thought they had known was gone. Not that anyone had ever really made an attempt to know him. That part of his being had shut down, leaving him numb in some ways, but more alive than ever in other ways. "This is what it's like to lose your mind," he thought. But there was no emotion attached, no fear, no panic, no despair. Kenny Scott, Carl Dahl's attorney, lived in an unremarkable house in an unremarkable neighborhood. The house was not unlike Stan's own, built in the 50s, a story and a half rectangle, like every other rectangle on the block. The juniper shrubs were overgrown, and the grass in the yard looked poor, as if Scott never fertilized or aerated it. Stan shook his head as he parked the truck down the block. Yards needed tending. If a person let their yard go, that spoke to their lack of character, as far as Stan was concerned. But then, he'd already known Kenny Scott lacked character. He got out of the truck, taking a small duffel bag with him, and walked down the sidewalk toward Scott's house. Across the street, there were some boys playing with a football in a front yard. They paid no attention to Stan. A woman struggling with a baby stroller was at the side of a minivan in the driveway of the house two doors away from Scott's. She didn't even glance at Stan as he walked past. He had always been a person no one noticed. A lot of times that had worked to his advantage. He turned down Kenny Scott's driveway and walked around to the back of the house. There was a small concrete patio with a black Weber grill, a glass-topped round table with an umbrella sticking up through the center of it, and four metal chairs with green cushions. Stan put his duffel bag on the table, unzipped it, and chose a handgun. A .22, small, quiet. A lot of criminals thought they had to carry big guns, .44s, .357s. That was just crap. That was ego, idiots trying to look like big men. A .22 did the job, close range, very little mess, very little noise. And it was easy for the shooter to pocket and simply walk away from the scene with. He zipped the duffel bag and slung it over one shoulder and across his chest, shoving the bag itself behind him, out of his way. Then he went to the back door and knocked. A television was playing somewhere inside. Kenny Scott was watching a college football game. Stan himself was a lifelong fan of college football, the Michigan Wolverines in particular. But as with everything in Stan's life, that was something only he knew about himself, because no one else had ever bothered to ask. He knocked on the door again. The attorney came through the kitchen looking puzzled. Stan could see him through the glass in the back door. Scott looked out through the glass, still confused. "Detective?" he asked as he opened the door. "Counselor," Stan said. "Can I have a moment of your time?"